Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we are today. It is February 1, 2021. You got Tyrone Tate here, my co-host and counterpart, J. Everett Pearsall. He's out there fighting the snow up there in Baltimore, trying to get out of town and get down to Florida. It's that Super Bowl weekend coming up, and I know that he is fighting it as hard as he possibly can. I just want to welcome you to our second edition to the Watkins Awards Show. We are glad to have you here from all over the world. I mean, when I say all over the world, I mean all over the world. I'm T. Tate, and certainly I want to welcome you to one of the most extraordinary shows that I can possibly tell you about. And certainly, as a listener, I know that you're chiming in because you want to make sure that, hey, whatever these guys are talking about, they're talking about the National Alliance of African American Athletes. This is an organization that has been in existence for 30 years now. Franklin D. Watkins, in which the award is named after, and of course the show Watkins Award. He, you know, was like Everett talked about last week. He was a community man, just a guy like anyone else that just said, you know what, I want to have some, you know, I want to have an outlet for these kids so these kids can really and truly get their life together, but use baseball. As a way to get a better life. Now, you know, let me say up front, and I want to repeat this, that the Watkins Award recognizes the top. That means the top. And we're going to talk about, because this, you know, this is a special month, February 1st, although every day and every month is a special month. It's African American history that is really going on. A lot of the history, the true history of African Americans is being spoken, is being portrayed this month. I mean, clearly you go into schools everywhere, you see the posters, you see the pictures, you see the videos. A lot of kids don't get a chance to chime in something like the Watkins Award. And the Watkins Award, again, named after Franklin D. Watkins. He was certainly a community man who thought that he had an idea to go and recognize not only the top athletes, but the top athletes who were scholars. And he used that to attract even more kids into it. And, you know, one of the things about the Watkins Award is that it represents the top African-American scholar athletes. And we're going to talk about that being Black History Month. We're going to talk about those scholars. I mean, clearly those scholars that we'll be talking about today is going to be something of a beautiful thing. But before I start talking about those scholars, you know, this show today, it's being sponsored by ExoticCarSharing.com. I mean, ExoticCarSharing.com is it's a full-service car-sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. It's based out of Palatine, Illinois, but they have a division here in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, you know, the weather's a little different here. No snow, at least as of yet. But when it's snowing up there in Illinois, you can come on down here to Atlanta. Now, I know we're in a pandemic, but, you know, after all this stuff is over with, you can come down here in the wintertime. There's most of the time, no snow. There's always that exception to the rule. But the company, that is Exotic Car Sharing, it allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars. Now, sure, I got a couple of listeners out there that have fractional ownership with, you know, some planes, you know, the Learjet. You know how you all do it. But, you know, clearly, the plan allows you to reserve for a weekend or weekly sharing, and the members can choose from anything from a Bentley on the weekend to a McLaren 570S the next. There's no long paperwork, expensive maintenance, expensive insurance. Exotic Car Sharing has a fleet cars, and I'm sure that they have something for you. So, we'd like you to support our sponsors. We'll be talking about other sponsors later on in the show, but clearly we want you to support our sponsors, and we want our sponsors to know that our listeners will be supporting them. Now, getting on with the show, I want to do, before I even start, I want to do some, what would I say, some housekeeping. And the housekeeping will be because this show can get a little frightening for some people. And the frightening part of it is that you never hear about these type of young men that we're talking about. I mean, of course, you look on TV and you see all the travesty that's going on TV. And so I want to do a little housekeeping and say that the views and opinions of, from the Watkins Award host and our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of bbsradio.com. In other words, don't hold bbsradio.com responsible for the words that Evelyn and I will be using, some of the phrases and our guests, because it can be quite frightening that here we're talking about Black History Month and the Franklin D. Watkins Award in the National Alliance of African American Athletes. It could be frightening to some people. So we don't want to frighten you with these kind of words. We don't want you to hold anybody accountable to this. But certainly, this is something that we want you to know that we are passionate about. So with that said, the organization represents the best of the best modern day super athletes. Now, Mr. Franklin D. Watkins would be very proud, bless his soul, resting in peace. He would be very proud. And I say he would be very proud because one of the things I'm going to talk about, and, like I say, my co-host, he's probably stuck somewhere, but he'll be calling in at any time. At least I expect him to, because he and I have been caught up in some crazy moments out there for the past 28 years for me. Everett has been involved with Mr. Franklin D. Watkins himself from the inception of the organization. And as Everett indicated, he wanted to take it national all the time. And that's why they called it the National Alliance of African American Athletes. But one of the things that Mr. Watkins would be proud of, first of all, is that in 30 years, 147 student athletes have come through this program. And with the exception of those guys who are in school right now, so there are guys who are in school around the country, all Power Five schools. Let me repeat that again. All Power Five schools. That means we're talking about the elite of the elite programs, academic and athletic. But more so, most of the programs are athletic driven. And one of the things that I have done as a coach, I've always told these young men, a lot of them I get a chance to meet when they're juniors, seniors. Every once in a while, I might meet a kid when he's in middle school. But most of the time, I'm meeting these guys when they're in high school. And my battle cry to them is to use your athletic gifts to get a free education. That's the thing. I mean, if you're going to be that powerful, you need to use that gift to get a free education. So let's talk a little bit. Some of the unique stories of some of the honorees over the years that I personally know. This ain't what I heard. This is what I know for a fact. This is spending countless hours in airports, sleeping the airport because I got a buddy pass. You all know about that buddy pass thing, don't you? You don't? I mean, we don't get any money. I mean, this is total volunteer. The National Alliance of African American Athletes, the only money we get is the money that you, as a listener, will donate to us. And you have an opportunity to donate at the end of the show. But since I'm there, you can go to www.naaa.com and make a donation. But it's your donations that I don't take because I'm trying to hustle up buddy pass because I don't want to spend all that money going out to the West Coast, going all the way up north and going all the way down south. But it symbolizes Watkins Award. It symbolizes focus, perseverance, determination, and excellence in our youth ability to do anything if they have the faith. Now, what do they say about faith? It's that which is unseen. It's unseen, but you believe in it. Now, I'm not going to turn this into no religious show, but I do want you to know we have faith. And these young men definitely have faith. So over the 30 years, we've had 100% graduation. Let me repeat that again. 100% of these young men have graduated from college. Now, I'm going to add a little interesting twist to this. Not only have 100% graduated, over 50% have graduated with 2 degrees. Let me repeat that again. Over 50% have graduated with 2 degrees. Now, in some cases, you have been able to do it in 4 years. In some cases, and most often, many of them have done it in 5 and 6 years. And in a rare case, one got a master's degree in 8 months. Now, we'll talk about him later. That's a whole nother story. I don't even want to get into him. I can do a whole show, and he'll be on the show. But he went to medical. Well, he was in playing for a Power Five school. I just want to help give you a hint. Most of you know that he went to a Power Five school. He probably listening. Who knows? He in between his little breaks, but went to a Power Five school. He finished pre-med in 2.5 years. He got a master's in 8 months. Then he went to Oxford and got another master's. And then he came back and played in the NFL. And I stopped the story there because that's an interesting story. But let me talk about one particular guy off the top. And this guy that I'm talking about right now, Matthew Daniels, Matt Daniels. Now, let's talk about one thing about Matt Daniels. Matt Daniels is from Atlanta, Georgia. And let's talk about Georgia. Georgia is normally, sadly, but normally at the bottom of the 50 states in the District of Columbia. I don't want to leave them out because then you'd be saying, well, he didn't say anything about the District of Columbia. And I'm not saying anything bad about the District of Columbia. I'm just saying 50 states and the District of Columbia. So with that said, here you have Georgia that normally when they rate the schools end up being at the bottom 40. So 40 to 50. That's not good. That's not good at all. But let's talk about this guy, Matt Daniels. Matt Daniels, I met him when he was, I actually met him when he was in 11th grade. It was just a thing. And then, of course, he was a 12th grader when I really got to know him. Now, most of you will ask the question, okay, are you coaching? You know, what are you doing? Well, let me just say, this guy, Matt Daniels, comes out of Georgia, which, like I say, is not rated very high overall by state. In comparison to all 50 states. But this guy, Matt Daniels, graduated with a 4.0 GPA. That's right, 4.0. He was a five-star athlete. That's right. I mean, for those who understand sports, you know what a five-star athlete is. That is the elite. He was a five-star athlete. And Matt Daniels, to my knowledge, I can be corrected, and anyone of the tens of thousands of people who are listening to this show right now can go online. I mean, all of you know how to use the internet, and you can dispute me. But Matt Daniels is the only African American high school athlete who is in the congressional record. Mentioned for his athletics and academics. That's right. That's right. That's what Matt Daniels is known for. He's known for his athletics and his academics. It's in the House of Representatives book. So you can go online and look into the House of Representatives book, 110th Congress. Second session, and it's a tribute to Matthew Daniels. But let me, for those of you who are from Georgia, let me help you with who wrote this beautiful piece of work about this young man. Now, you can call him what you want to call him. I'm not going to stop you from calling him what you want, but the Honorable Lynn Westmoreland of Georgia in the House of Representatives on Tuesday, April the 8th. Tuesday, April the 8th, 2008. Mr. Westmoreland stood on the floor and he said, "Madam Speaker, I rise today to pay tribute to a young man from Fayetteville in Georgia's 3rd Congressional District who has excelled in the classroom and on the playing field." Now, he wrote this. Now, I'm not going to read the entire record. I mean, it's not really long, but it just says he's considered as one of the best defensive backs in the country. Yes, he was. Matt Daniels was in the top three in the country, not top three in Georgia, in the country. And Matthew has maintained a perfect 4.0 grade point average. He is a member of the Beta Club, the National Honor Society, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. These are good kids. These are good kids and other worthy community groups. This remarkable young man is unquestionably a premier scholar athlete in a time when very few kids in the country barely stay academically eligible. Now, Matthew lends inspiration to a younger generation that it's possible to achieve perfection in sports and in the classroom. I mean, Matthew represents Fayette County. He is absolutely an awesome kid. And now the awesome kid was not in the congressional record. I just wanted to say that because I know this guy, and Matt Daniels played in the NFL for several years, and now he is a assistant coach for the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, Matt Daniels is one. Let me go to Chris Burnett. Chris Burnett is a young man who is from Troup County here in Georgia. He graduated from Troup County High School in 2009. I'm sorry, in 2009. He was one of the top lineman in the country. As my memory served me correct, he's one of the top 20 linemen in the country. He went to the University of Georgia, right here. Went to the University of Georgia. I have never heard an African American, Caucasian, Asian, Australian, Russian, you name it, in the schools of this United States. Now, it's probably someone out there, but I haven't heard of a five-star athlete in football, basketball, or baseball. Now, let me qualify what I'm saying here. Because you say, oh, no, we had somebody. Well, if he played in the band, okay. If he ran track and he just was a good athlete, but really wasn't a top-tier athlete, okay. But I'm talking a five-star athlete. And Chris Burnett, when he graduated from high school, he had a 5.1. Oh, yeah, I know I'm messing somebody's head up. I know, I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me apologize now. I've already done the disclaimer, so I'm apologizing for messing you at 5.1. Yes. For those school teachers out there who never heard of a 5.1, let me educate you just briefly. This kid, first of all, was a minority in the school. So don't think that the teachers gave him anything. He worked for everything. And Chris was a minority in the school. He finished with a 5.1. So he took all AP classes and got an A in every class. His original major at Georgia, when he and I talked, was supposed to be physics. But unfortunately, when he got to Georgia, Coach Rick and the staff started looking into the program at Georgia. It was not built for an athlete, in particular for a football player in his schedule. They would have had to rearrange the classes just for him. And you know, the school wasn't going to do that for one student. So he majored in finance. And of course, by the time he finished his 5 years in school, because he didn't play his first year, so they gave him 4 years to play. Chris graduated with not only his bachelor's in finance, but he had his MBA. And so Chris didn't get drafted like most of these kids. They don't get drafted. I mean, just because you're a five star doesn't mean. So, as I tell all the kids, what Chris said to me. So, Chris didn't get drafted, but he went down to Jacksonville. And down at Jacksonville, they told him that they had to let him go. And Chris called me up, and he was so happy. And I said, well, why is he so happy? And come find out that Chris told me that, Coach, it's just what you said. It wasn't about football. It was about me getting a free education. I didn't want to play anyway. I just needed somebody to tell me, you can't play. You gotta go. Can't be on this team. And Chris was so happy to come back to Atlanta. It was unbelievable. But again, 5.1. You know, there's so many kids that I could talk about. Josh Dobbs, he graduated with a 4.0. He was from out of Georgia. And know one thing about Josh Dobbs, now he's with Pittsburgh. Josh was at in Jacksonville, but then he got traded back to Pittsburgh. Tells you what kind of person he is. He played for Pittsburgh, was traded. Then Pittsburgh brought him back. Must be something going on. That Josh Dobbs is a piece of work. He's a rocket scientist, as they say. Double major, aeronautical engineering and international business while he was at the University of Tennessee. And Josh claimed to fame, as I say, never missed a day in school, grade school. Even during the recruiting process, I had to laugh. Josh never missed a day at school. He would set up his recruiting trips so he would get his perfect attendance. These are the type of young men who are a part of the National Alliance of African American Athletes who have been honored with Franklin D. Watkins Award. I see I may have a caller on line number two. Before I bring in my special guest for today, I want to bring that caller in if he's still there. So, caller, are you there?
Yes,
Greetings.
sir.
Greetings.
Oh man, thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be able to be present and hear all the updates. So it's wonderful, Watkins Alliance, and to just see life happening.
Well,
Life
you
is
know,
great.
and I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm sorry. I thought it was a call, but I see it's Wayne Lyon. So, Wayne, don't let me do you a disservice. Let me introduce you first and foremost, because I apologize to the caller if he or she hung up. All I know is that there was a caller there, and he may call back, and so I apologize if I let him come in on your time as well and let him ask you a couple of questions. But Wayne Lyons, I mean, is another one of those extraordinary scholar athletes. I mean, this young man certainly epitomizes everything that we talk about in the Watkins Award. Now, Wayne, I mean, clearly, this is going to be you're going to hear it from the horse's mouth. I mean, clearly, this is just unbelievable what this young man has been able to accomplish. But I'm gonna let him get into it. But the introduction is Wayne is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. As I mentioned, the Watkins Award represents the best athletes in the country. In the country. And Wayne is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He went to Dillard High School. And when he graduated, Wayne had a 4.8 GPA. Now, let me repeat that again. He had a 4.8 GPA. He's a five-star athlete. He ran football. I mean, defensive back. I mean, he has good size. I mean, like coaches say, he passed the eyeball test. But what Wayne was able to do, I mean, clearly, I've seen defensive backs that are much, much, much larger than Wayne. We're talking about a kid that is really, really driven coming out of high school. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But Wayne's claim to fame as well is that he goes to Stanford. That's right. He goes to Stanford University, Palo Alto, California. I didn't stutter. I didn't say Stanford. I said Stanford. So he goes to Stanford, and Wayne finishes out his degree, gets his bachelor's, but he has an extra year of athletic eligibility. And a lot of guys take advantage of that. So he goes and find out and test the waters because he wants to get a master's degree. And instead of staying at Stanford, he goes to the University of Michigan. Now, most guys can't even get in there for just a play. The coach knows that he only has 1 year. Think about the mindset at the time. Coach Harbaugh. We know he's making somewhere in the neighborhood about $10 million a year. So he ain't gonna put his job on the line, or the position coach is not gonna put his job on the line for someone who is, one, doesn't have good character, two, is a good student, and three, and most importantly, is a heck of an athlete, because he can use that scholarship somewhere else. But he allowed Wayne Lyons the second to get that scholarship. So with that said, I want to come back to Wayne on the other side of this music, because I got some intro music coming in for Wayne. I want my engineer, Doug, bring that intro music in. I think you got what it is that I want for Wayne coming in. I'm waiting for it, Doug. Bring us in. Wayne, how you doing?
Hey, man, that music got me fired up. The show got me fired up. Being around great people, man, you know how it goes.
Well,
it's
Wayne,
all love.
Well, Wayne, you know what I did and what I want people to know is just because you go to a school like Stanford, you don't have to lose who you are.
Amen.
You maintain who you were when you left Fort Lauderdale, and when you got on that campus out there in Palo Alto, you remained true to the cause.
Amen.
And so it is my plum pleasing pleasure, as you know, the old Les Brown would say, to have you on the show today. Wayne Lyons the second. I mean, man, I am so excited to have you today, Wayne, and certainly I want to give our listeners an opportunity to get some insightful information as to who you are as a person and how you were able to achieve greatness and pursue excellence in both the classroom and on the field. I mean, certainly, Wayne, I mean, I'm caught up on this thing, man. I mean, I'm just clearly caught up on it. So, Wayne, first of all, tell us a little bit about you and what was going on when you was in high school or middle school. I mean, what turned this fire on?
Just being in the environment I'm from, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, you often see a lot of times where the most phenomenal athletes all around you, and some of them don't get the opportunity to showcase their talent because of circumstances or situations that may prevent them from getting the exposure they need. So understanding that it's a difference between being eligible to graduate from high school to get a scholarship, and then once you do make it to the scholarship, being able to, you know, be on the team, get in the game, be on the field during ESPN time, and then people will know who you are. But I had the understanding that in order to make all of that happen, I had to first survive high school, survive middle school. I had to take care of my grades in order to get a scholarship. And I think that was clear to me coming out of middle school. I went to William Dandy Middle School and just taking advanced classes to give me the confidence to know that I was different. You know, I was also performing great on my sports teams, but looking around my classroom, I saw I was the only athlete in the class. So it let me know then while I was in middle school that maybe it's something different about the approach that I'm taking. And sticking to that has paid off.
Well, Wayne, when did you realize that sports could be a vehicle to get a free education?
Yeah, I believe it was my seventh grade year, transitioning from I was going to Nova Eisenhower, then went to Nova Middle, and later William Dandy Middle School. And it was the culture shift. So understanding most of the students that was there, they understood sports was everything. We won the championship every year I was there, basketball, Little League, football, we won the championship. So understanding athletics was rich in my community. But then again, once I came to my class selection where I was in the gym program, which is for the advanced math students, I was looking around the classroom and noticing the students in the gym class were not the athletes, and the athletes were not in the advanced classes. So I had to realize that I will not be different from the greatest in sports, nor will I be different from the greatest in academics. So I challenged myself to be who I was, regardless of the environment around me and the influence that my mom gave me, as far as knowing your academics is going to be the difference between, let's say, for instance, you ran a 4.5 40 and someone else runs a 4.5 40. Your GPA is a 3.6 and their GPA is a 2.1. You have one scholarship left for a football team to go to college. My mom broke it down to me like this in middle school. Who do you think is going to get that scholarship?
Well, that's powerful. Because I have a lot of conversations with parents. And certainly it's the countless hours that I have spent with individuals such as yourself, and just getting to know you, and then trying to relive my own childhood. And I tell parents, you know, in particular, it's not about the transition from high school to college. It's the transition really from middle school to high school.
Yes.
Because by the time you get into ninth grade, if your mind isn't right, it's just going to be something not right. But what was pushing you so hard to be among the top 2% in the classroom in the country? We're not just talking about Florida. We're talking about 2% in the country. Because I want to remind the audience that your GPA coming out of high school was a 4.7.
Yeah. Some people even have it on the scale of 4.9 when you have different weighted. So being able to do dual enrollment, that helped with the GPA. Okay. And in regards to the passion that came from, is from my mom. Seeing that she worked 2-3 jobs to take care of my sister, and I knew I had to do something to make sure that she was going to be taken care of, my sister was going to be taken care of, and I would be able to provide for my family, my grandma, my uncles, my cousins. Like, we have a big family, and I know just being able to support, have family events, that's something that we all love to do. So I think it's in my desire to provide for my family. My uncle took care of this Christmas, and you know, just being able to be around family and have something, not to wonder, hey man, we looking at the TV, but we here present and don't have what we need. So I wanted to make sure we have what we need in present time.
So let's get this straight, because a lot of people, I'm sure, are listening. They want to know. They really want to know. And, you know, I want to remind them that you didn't go to Stanford and play around in the classroom. You went to Stanford because you were serious. You were very serious. So what was your major at Stanford, so everyone knows, so we can set this up?
Yes, sir. I majored in architectural design, civil engineering.
Architectural design, civil engineering.
Yes, sir.
You know, this is This is amazing. Not unbelievable, but amazing. Because I want people to know, if you have a child out there, your child has a dream, all you have to do is continuously push that child, whether it's a male or a female. And here you see a young man that's just a young man that comes out of Fort Lauderdale that doesn't have a family, as you can see, comes from a humble environment. So he wasn't down there when you watch Miami Vice and you see these Maseratis and Lamborghinis riding around, and he's going to school in a Bentley. I'm sure you wasn't driving back and forth to school in a BMW or anything.
No, sir.
But I wanted to set that up, because after you finish your playing time at Stanford, and oh, by the way, you not only played defensive back, but you played special teams. I mean, you was all over the place.
Yes,
and you played as a true freshman, did you?
Yes, sir.
I thought that was the case. I mean, now we know also a lot of kids, they, you know, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, no star athletes, they go to school. They don't get a chance to play the first year. But let me just take a quick break and just say that this show is sponsored by ExoticCarSharing.com. And certainly when you get a chance, go by their website. Take a look at them, because they make it possible for me to have this opportunity to talk to Wayne on the lines the second right now. So once you decided to play at Stanford, how did the Lions and the Watkins Award keep you motivated and focused in college?
Oh, man, the community. I was there with some of my Watkins alumni, James Waters, Ramon Wright. They were in the class with me, so they were in the introduction for the Hollywood Red Carpet Affair. I was able to meet some of the most influential people in Hollywood, got a chance to really see what it's like to be in a 5-star environment where people of great prestige, great integrity, great resources, man, the family and the love each year, being able to come back and see a new group of guys that are killing the game, you know, top of their class in academics, destroying the field, football, sports, and understanding that they all giving back to their community, being great leaders and taking care of their family. And that's everything that I represent, and being able to have people that you can call on and be united with. I think that's something that the world needs to see. And having the Watkins as a family is something that I believe is life-changing for me, because when I came back to the Watkins, I met Dr. Paul Ruffin, who is the chief technology officer for the GBI. And from there, so many opportunities have been opened to me. And I just want to say it was life-changing.
Well, certainly we try to make sure that it is a networking opportunity, that we give you as much opportunities to not only meet, but make some positive networking opportunities turn into something. And here's one of my old sayings, you know, it's always stuck with me. It's not just who you know. People always talk about, well, you know, you go to Stanford, you go to these big schools, it's who you know. I like to say, here we got who you know, but it's who you know that will help you. I mean, we can know a whole bunch of people, but if they don't want to help you, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, so let me just quickly ask this question here, and this is really one that I'm sure the audience want to know about. You finally graduate. You have an opportunity to go to the NFL. You decide you want to pursue your education further. And also, you want to go to not only a Power Five school, but you're going to a Power Five school that has one of the largest athletic facilities in the country. I mean, just It's unbelievable. I've gone to Michigan games. It is unbelievable up there in that stadium. And so you decide you're going to go somewhere. You take your degree and you go to the University of Michigan. How do you motivate yourself to convince these coaches who are making the position coaches are making high six figures? I mean, the strength coach is probably making over $600,000 up there at Michigan easily.
Yeah.
Everything is paid off. This is a business, ladies and gentlemen. Everything on that campus in Ann Arbor is paid off. There's no mortgages and no expenses. It's paid off up there. So they can afford to pay Coach Harbaugh at that time and just gave him an extension, which is another conversation. But to pay him somewhere in the neighborhood of about $16 million? Oh, annually. We're not talking total contract. This man making some money. But with all that said, let's get off of him and stay with Wayne. Wayne, how do you convince these coaches that you got another year where that they can give this scholarship to someone else, but they give it to you? That speaks volumes,
sir,
about your athletic building. How do you do it?
Yeah, I believe it's from my mindset and my heart. So understanding I was going to come in as a leader, as a fifth-year alumni who has been two-time Rose Bowl championships, being able to go to the Fiesta Bowl, playing with Andrew Luck, understanding that the environment of the locker room is what brings a championship team. And having that philosophy ingrained after 4 years of Stanford, being able to understand what it takes to win. So the work ethic, the collaboration within your teammates, being able to be one of 11, but making sure you do your one of 11 and not focus on someone else's one of 11 to function 100% as a team should. And also just being able to have a mindset of after football. So your presence, who are you as a man? Who are you going to be as a influence in the community, as a Michigan brand, as a Stanford brand, as your family's brand? So understanding at my time at Stanford, I believe the coaches saw not only my game film, but also the things that was taking place outside of school. So understanding the reason I went to Stanford was not for a 4-year decision, but a 40-year decision. So understanding the influence and the conversations that's being had in the locker room. So how we influence the young freshmen to become great seniors, how we given the opportunity for the coaches staff to understand how to interact with the players to have a better relationship. So the players are giving you their all and there's no animosity amongst staff, players, any players, locker room, seniors, freshmen, and just given the opportunity to establish a championship locker room. I believe that's what helped us go down and beat Florida the way we did in the Buffalo Wild Wings Buffalo Bowl. It gave us opportunity to play every year in one of the BCS Bowl games. My freshman year was in the Fiesta Bowl. Sophomore and junior year, we went to the Rose Bowl back-to-back, Pac-12 championships back-to-back. Also, my senior year, we played in the Foster Farms Bowl. That was at the San Francisco 49ers Stadium. We beat Maryland pretty bad, but just understanding what they were getting was not just a player, but the overall, the impact for the team, how I would impact the team, the freshmen that will now be seniors who will be, you know, first round draft picks, who will be the Devin Bushes, who Rashawn Gary's and all these guys who, you know, be able to get that influence in the locker room that transitions into what they do on the field. I believe that's what Coach Harbaugh saw and bringing me over to Michigan.
Man, that is incredible. I think I got another call. We don't have a lot of time, but I think I got another call. I'm going to let him chime in real quick if he's still there. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Kudos to Brother Wayne Lyons II and Mr. Tyrone Tate. You're very well spoken. And you've taken full advantage of the opportunities that the branding, well, first of all, what your mother told you in terms of setting yourself apart and getting that one last meal ticket, that speaks huge volumes. And kudos to your mother, all your support systems, the Watkins Award, and what Brother Tate and others have done to help mold you and show you the way. But kudos to yourself, because from what you've said, you took the horns of that bull and you've stayed on that bull and you're going places very far. So continue to do well, and I'll be looking to hear more about you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Man, that's
no
something
problem.
That
I appreciate you.
That's something that someone would call in and certainly acknowledge the body of work that you have put in. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but here's one thing I want to do with you. Let the audience know, how can they reach you? You got some things that are going on and people need to know real quickly about how can they reach out to you and find out how they can get involved with Wayne Lyons, because you have a nonprofit as well.
Yes, sir. And that nonprofit is Empire for the Youth. And we have a website where you could go learn about the different opportunities we have that will bring funds and resources to the community and for each person that supports Empire for the Youth. And that's through everything we do every day, online shopping. So that's something you can find at www.eftyleaders.com. So Empire for the Youth, eftyleaders.com. That's the website. You can also find some inspiring videos that gives a little bit more about who I am, some of the philosophies we live by, and my cell phone number. You can reach me directly at 313-247-7979, or you can call the business line, which is giving opportunity to record the calls. That way, anyone you wants to hear the information, you could send it back to them in the MP3, and that number is 888-788-EFTY-3389.
Well, I hear that music coming in, and certainly, what's your Twitter account?
Yep, my Twitter is WLyons21.
That's at WLyons21. You can get in touch with Wayne Lyons. He's even giving you his cell phone number. These are the type of young men that we have here at the Watkins Award, and certainly we're so blessed to have these kids. And I just want to thank Wayne for the time that he took out today to let people know that during this Black History Month, that there are some individuals out there that have been accomplishing, been pushing, who are pursuing excellence. And I'm thankful to have had an opportunity to meet him in my lifetime. Just a great guy, and I just want to let everybody know, thank you so much. God bless you. This has been another edition of the Watkins Award. Thank you, and have a beautiful and blessed day.
Always remember, God is love, and love conquers all.
That's it.
Amen. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.